Hello everyone, I am Jitendra Singh Dahiya. I welcome you to Read My Story, where I interview authors, speakers, coaches, celebrities, entrepreneurs and more. Today I have with me Dr. Poulami Ghosh Naeem. She is a life and a business coach. She is a change catalyst, a devotee of social conduct. She has a close to 22 years of experience in human resource leadership development, and her expertise lies in human relations, learning cultural change, leadership interventions, talent management, and organizational development. She has a dual master's in psychology and English literature with a degree in criminal law. She has been practicing Reiki for a decade now. She is a strong believer of 6 P's in life: passion, perseverance, perfection, planning, performance, and patience. Today, she will be discussing with us about her life journey. So let us hear from her. Welcome, Dr. Poulami. The platform is open, and now over to you.
Thank you, Jitendra. Thank you for a wonderful opening there. I'm sure we can, we can speak a lot about what I have achieved so far. I think it's a very small achievement. I am yet to still get there, but I have done something in my life which I'm, a few things that I'm very proud of. Few things I really still have to achieve, and thank you for this platform, Jitendra. I mean, it has been wonderful, wonderful feeling that you actually had me today. So yes, you can shoot now.
Sure. Thanks for being here. I'd like to know about you as a person. What are the things in your life which has affected you to became like what you wanted to be or what you became in your life?
I belong to a very, very, very conservative middle class family, born Bengali, from Hyderabad. Yeah. And, life has been definitely roller coaster. And it has definitely not been the bed of roses, you know, with the rose. It says, right, if you want the rose, you need to also enjoy the thorns that come along with it, right? So I think a very simple middle class family, being a very obedient student throughout my life, being I hope I was an obedient child to my parents. Yeah. I hope I'm the only girl for them, so a little pampered, but I hope that I was able to follow the guidelines and the regulations that they set for me. Definitely they have set examples for me, they led by example. They walk the talk, and that's where I learned. Honestly, if you ask me what I wanted to be and what I am today, I wanted to be a doctor always. That was the dream. But unfortunately, I realized at a certain point that I was very, very scared of blood. So obviously, being a doctor and you getting scared of blood is not something that will work out.
Right.
And then I chose to be a psychologist. You know, that's where I thought, I would interact with people. I'll learn in the process of, coaching and counseling. And that's where I am today. So a little bit of match between what I wanted to be and what I am today, though I don't regret anything. I'm happy what I am today.
Right. That is more important. Like whatever you do, you should do that with all your heart.
Yes.
Wonderful. So if I talk about your passion in your life, what would that be? What are the things you are passionate about?
I'm passionate about what I do. I mean, there is nothing specific I would say. Whatever I take up, it could be, so I've been a coach, I have been a counselor. For a short while, I had worked for All India Radio on a part-time contract. So anything that I did, I always picked it up with passion, anything. I mean, whether I talk to people, whether I present myself, I do a training session, or I do a recruitment, I do an interview, whatever. So whatever I do it with a lot of passion. So I would not say that I have anything in specific. So my passion is whatever you do, give your wholehearted, complete dedication to that specific task.
Right. Right. That is really important. So if I talk about your work and experiences, how that goes, like where you started, what all you did in your life?
I started long back. It's been a little over 2 decades. And I had always, like, as I mentioned, I always love to interact with people, talk to people. And that's where I think the human resources thing had helped me a lot throughout my professional journey. And I've been in human resources for over these years. And that's where I started. I started from recruitment, from interviewing people to, coming to the L&D part of it, because you know L&D is also a part of human resources. I did talent development, I did talent management, then I moved on to leadership coaching, and then I moved to organization development. So it's like a step-by-step process and the journey that I had taken so far. Mm-hmm. That's where I started. This and that's what I enjoy.
Wonderful. So this means you have worked on almost all the job roles of HR.
Absolutely. I enjoy all the gamuts of HR. Everything has a new learning and everything is a new process. So I enjoy every gamut of it.
Wonderful. So if I talk about the most important life lessons or learnings in your life, what are those? And from personal and professional experience both.
So definitely, I think for everybody, you know, whether it's you or me, I think for everyone, your personal coachings and the personal learnings are the first ones, because your mother is the best teacher in the world. So you learn most of the things at home. So I learned a lot of things because my mother was very different person and very determined and strong, confident woman herself. So I learned one thing from my dad was being humble. So being humble, and what he taught me is I should be carrying humility to my graveyard, and I hope I'm following his teachings. And my mother taught me that, you know, whatever you do, unless you do a blunder or a mistake, you always keep your head high. So there is nothing to feel shame about it. So even if you fail, you should not worry from trying. So I learned this, you know, these were like very, very strong lessons that I had learned from my life. And the other thing I learned from my maternal aunt was never stop in life. Whatever happens, you will definitely go there and never stop. So I think these three things from these three different people in my life who have a great impact, I learned these three lessons in life, and that's also helped me in my professional life. You know, these learnings I carried. It's a straight impact from the personal life to the professional life. So that transition, transformation, everything happened from there.
Yeah, these are really important in personal and professional life. Both.
Yes. Wonderful. And I was very, very, very fortunate that I got very good bosses in my life who taught me a lot of things. I mean, I would say, I had three bosses in my three organizations that I worked for, and the three of them had a different perspective about a career and a professional life.
Wonderful.
So they actually motivated me a lot. So, you know, I would say 2 decades back, of course, I was a teenager and I was having a carefree thought. But it was my first manager and first boss who told me that, you know, there is definitely a fire in you. So you should not stop in what you're doing. I mean, you should be different.
Right.
Why should you be in the crowd? You should stand out in the crowd. You know, somebody special. So you know, somebody should remember, okay, this is Palomi, right? She knows how to do this. So I think these kind of learnings are very important, and you should be very fortunate enough to get this kind of guides and mentors in your life. So that helped me a lot.
Right, but that really helps. Definitely.
Yes.
So what are the your vision, mission and goal for next maybe 5 to 10 years from now?
What I want to achieve in life, I haven't been able to achieve yet. I want to make something which is a name for a task or a work that I do or a project that I do that people would resonate, that people will feel or people will remember and recollect my name with that particular task. People would say that, okay, this is what Palomi has contributed for this. I don't want to be famous, but I definitely want to be recognized as a person who was able to contribute, which has a great impact on people's lives.
Wonderful.
That's where I want to achieve. You know, that could take me 5 years, 10 years. Okay, before I die, I would want to achieve it. That's my goal. Now, if you ask me if I have a smart goal for that, I definitely have a smart goal. Now, I want to achieve it in the next 5 years. This is 2022. By 2027, people should be able to say that, okay, this is what she has done for this particular field.
Right.
Now, there is a specific field that I am working for, and I really want to contribute to that.
Definitely. Definitely. Whatever you do, you should be feel proud whatever you are doing.
Correct.
Nice. Really important. Nice thought too. So if I talk about POSH, what is POSH and why organizations should have specified and strict policies for POSH?
Very, very specific and a very interesting question and topic. Right. So POSH, you know, definitely it is about prevention of sexual harassment at the workplace. Yeah. So POSH is about, you know, prevention, prohibition and readdressal. These are the three things that we do. And, you know, organizations, I think it's extremely critical and important because it's one, this is a law mandate. This is not that, you know, somebody is telling you or a vendor is telling you that you need to do. This is a law mandate. So the Supreme Court says that you need to be, you know, compliant with that because this has a mandatory thing. Second, I think it is also a safety for the organization that you are POSH certified. Your employees are POSH aware and you have done it for the employees. So it is also a good thing for the organization that you are compliant. Tomorrow, nobody will question you as to why you have not done it. So that is very, very important. So for the organization, I think this is one of the most important.
Right. So if I asked you, POSH, like we have apprehension and myths around POSH that this is only for women's safety. So I want to know more onto it.
Okay. All right. So I'll tell you, Jitendra. What you said is absolutely right. There are still apprehensions. People are still confused. I think people need to still be aware. And that's why I say this is an awareness session. POSH is definitely not a training session. This is an awareness that you need to know. And people need to understand that whether you have women employees or not, irrespective of the gender in your workplace, if your organization has more than 10 regular employees, you are supposed to be having this POSH awareness. Okay, it does not require you to employ a female worker into that workspace, but as long as you have 10 and more than 10. That is very, very important. I have also
organization can have 10 men altogether and still they need to implement POSH.
Yes. And you also need to understand, even though you might not have women employees, depending on the organization or depending on the industry that you are.
Correct.
If there is a woman, for example, you have invited a client and there is a woman in the client team, then she is also your responsibility on the premises.
Right.
If unfortunately something happens, God forbid, then you, the employer is responsible for that. Now, if yourself is not POSH compliant, how will you save, or how will you save that woman, you know, saying that, you know, what are her rights? How will you actually do that?
Correct.
Because you have not done it in your workplace, thinking that we don't have any women. You might have a, you might have a housekeeping staff, or you might have a contractual employee or somebody who's helping you out in a project or a client visit, something like that. As long as the lady is in the workplace, it, in that premises, it is the organization's responsibility to safeguard everything.
Right.
And that is why it is very, very critical.
Correct. Correct. Got it. So if I talk about the legal requirements or implications, what are the legal requirements or implications we need to understand around POSH, and what is the value it can offer to organizations?
So one is definitely there is a POSH awareness from the, for the employees. Then you have a team, which is the internal complaints committee. If something happens, then the employee can approach the internal complaints committee. The good thing about this is the law is pro-woman. You know, it will safeguard the woman, you know, most in most of the cases.
Right.
However, in an organization, the law is applicable equally irrespective of the gender. It could be a male employee, it could be a, you know, it could be a female employee, it could be a third generation, it could be anybody in the organization.
Yeah, yeah.
So the law is equally applicable and it will impact everyone in the organization.
Mm-hmm.
That is one. Second, like you said, how will it help? It will help on the awareness. People will know about it and there will be an awareness created. So, you know, nobody will actually cross the limits because they are already aware on the impact and the implications.
Right.
Second, implications, if you, unfortunately, if you're not a certified organization for POSH, there is a penalty which is attached to it. You need to register yourself. So every state, now I belong to Telangana, like Telangana, there is every state where there is a, you know, there is a website where you have to go and register yourself.
Okay.
Your organization, get registered and it will be noted in the state. And if you unfortunately don't do that, then there is a penalty that is attached to it.
Okay.
Under Shops and Establishment Act, there is a penalty attached to it. Because the law says you need to be aware of it, end of the day, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, every state has a... So, I would not mention any specific websites for that because every state has a different one. But definitely they have. So that is the implication. You need to also think about that. So if you think that, you know, Porsche is a waste of time or waste of money or whatever, I would say no. This is an awareness. This is a law mandate and an awareness, and it is also good for the employee and the employer both.
Right. Right.
So that's my suggestion.
Right. So implementing is really important. And the Porsche policies also help employees to understand what is the right behavioral approach towards co-workers and customers also.
Correct. There will be policies available. There is the internal complaints committee that's available. There is also an external member, a legal expert like me, or you have a person from NGO, you have a psychologist, or you have a legal person who is also on the board of the organization who will also intervene if required. So these kind of things. So it is very, very important that you have these things in place.
Right. So this is really important, and I must say every organization should have these policies framed properly, and also they need to guide and educate all staff across all levels, not only the workforce but also the helping hands like security, the people who are taking care of cleaning and all. They should also be aware of these things.
Everyone. Absolutely.
So now I'd like to know more about you. Like, were you an introvert or an extrovert while growing up, or how you face challenges of being in touch with people, connecting with them, meeting them?
Do you ever think that I would be an introvert?
Talking to you till now, I don't find that you would be an introvert.
I think I was a born extrovert. I would, I don't know. But I remember my mom calling me a chatterbox. I used to get remarks in my school report card. Of course, I was a very good student. I was toppered, but then, it would always have too much talkative. So I remember I used to talk a lot.
I did complain to your report card.
Though the subjects would have excellent, very good and all this stuff, but then this one used to be in quotes to my mom, saying that she's too much talkative, need to control her, she talks a lot. So I never spared even my teachers. I used to go and bug them so much, and I don't think I was ever, I don't know, I was never quiet. I was never a quiet child. So I grew up from a child to a teenager to an adult, now getting old, but I think I have been the same. I keep telling myself and I keep telling my people that, I think I'm born this way and I'm going to die this way. So the day you don't hear from me, so that day, please understand that I'm not around anymore. Because as long as I'm there, I will keep on talking.
Might possibly you are sick too. So now moving on to the next question. If I talk about the support you have in your life, who were the people supported you the most?
Definitely, I think for everyone, it's the mom, the first teacher. It has been throughout my mother. And I'm very fortunate to be born into a family where I was raised like a human being, not like a girl or not like a boy, and there was no discrimination done.
Okay.
I was a single child for almost 14 years because I didn't have a sibling, and he came into the life only after 14 years. I think I was very, very fortunate to be raised in a way that they gave me every freedom and every platform as to what I wanted to do in life. Both my parents. Of course, my mother has a greater impact. So she wanted to live her dreams through me, things that she was unable to do. So she taught me. Then if I move on, and unfortunately, both my parents are not around anymore.
Okay, sorry to hear that.
But yes, my maternal aunt, my mother's only sister, she has been my inspiration throughout, even today. Actually, she's my idol, for whatever I have done. And of course, as I move on, it's been 10 years of married life, and I think my husband. Because if he doesn't support, then I don't think I can achieve anything in life.
I
always keep saying this whenever I talk to people, that the statement of, there is a saying and a generic statement that there is a woman behind the success of every man, but I would say behind this successful woman, there is my man, who always stands by me. in all my professional and career achievements. And I owe a lot to him because he gives me that opportunity, that platform, the space for me to do my things.
Wonderful.
So I think he has a wonderful impact on my life.
Right, that support is really important from family. Yes. And family members.
Yes.
So if I talk about inspiration and motivation in life, who are the people you get most of the inspiration and motivation? One you have already mentioned, I'd like to know more about other people.
So I would not say that, you know, there are any, I have learned a lot from Mother Teresa. You know, yeah. What I learned from her, how she inspires me is doing things for people without an expectation. You know, it is like when you do something for somebody or when you give something to somebody, you don't expect that. Normal scenario is, you know, you expect, you know, that he will also give something to me in return. But with that lady, I think I learned that there is nothing in expectation.
Yeah.
She has only been given, right? Throughout her life, she has only been giving and she has not expected anything. So that's what I learned from her. The other person who has actually inspired me, I would say, somebody who is not so famous or not so special, but one of my bosses that I had learned in my life, I've seen in my life.
Right.
He was one of those guys, you know, who always would like to throw me in a fire, you know, in a ball of fire. And I would like say, what's wrong with you? And then he would say that, you know, every time I throw you in fire, I know that if you start burning yourself and if it hurts you, you will definitely try to come out of it.
Right.
If I create everything for you, or if I create, you know, a wonderful, lovely place for you, then I think the learning will be very limited.
Right.
And there were times I used to get very frustrated. I'm like, you know, I don't want to work with this man. You know, he is not at all helping me, kind of a thing. But there was a time that I realized that there is definitely a reason why he is doing that. And when I actually look back, I always found standing there for me. So, you know, I would say he is like one of the godfathers for me that I had, I had learned in my life. He's a very, very normal, simple, humble man. But he has inspired me to an extent that I learned a lot of things.
Wonderful.
I learned to do things on my own, rather I would say that. So without depending on others, you know, that is, so these are the two people in my life who have inspired me, you know, apart from the ones that I already mentioned.
Right. Really wonderful people you have in your life who like inspire you, motivate you. So amazing. So if I talk about your take on success, what do you think success should look like to you?
Very dicey question, huh? Success, you know, I remember this quote from this movie, Three Idiots. I'm sure all of us have watched that movie, and he would say that just concentrate and focus on your hard work, you know, success will follow you any which ways. So, you know, that one thing which has stuck in my mind for a very, very long time, that just focus on your task, focus on your work. And once you've done and once you're able to do that, I think success is something that is anyway automatically going to follow you. You don't have to run behind success.
Definitely.
You will not even realize one day that you are successful because you only focused on the work.
Correct.
And people are talking about that success. So that's, I think that's the success mantra that I have for myself, and that's what I want to tell people. That let's just focus on getting our things done, and, you know, just let's just focus on what we want to do in life, what we want to achieve in life. So once you achieve it, you are successful. That's it. It will follow.
Correct. Definitely. Whatever you do it with your heart, dedication, passion, and all your energies. This is really important.
Yes.
So, in last, I'd like to know about few of the messages or advices you'd like to make to our audience.
One, definitely, I would like to say, you know, what I think somewhere, and over the last 2 years in this pandemic, you know, Jitendra and myself, as a COVID warrior, I survived that dangerous phase, you know, where I thought I was dead. And I think that's where I learned that your mind, you know, your mindset, well, your thoughts, the positive energy that you have, that's also is very, very important in your life.
Right.
You need to think that, yes, you can do it. You need to think that, yes, you can achieve it. And you need to think that, yes, I am the winner and I can do it.
Right.
Trust me, that worked like miracles. For someone like me who is highly diabetic, where the oxygen levels were almost 69.33, and I thought I was dead, and I survived that phase, which definitely means that your positive mindset, is one of the most important things in your life.
Definitely, it can do wonders.
If I have to look at the generation, behind the youngsters or, who are like growing up, I think it's very, very important that you change the way you look at life.
Yeah.
At 20 and 25, you might feel that there's a lot of gyan coming to you, but then that gyan definitely has an impact on your life.
Correct.
When you reach your 30s and 40s and look back, you definitely have to see that there is a lot of learning from, and these are all real experiences. These are not stories.
Correct.
And I'm sure every family has at least one or two people who have been impacted and affected with that deadly disease.
Yes.
No, it was more like, for me, COVID was more like mental and than physical.
Definitely, it was for everyone. Like whosoever I've spoken after recovery, they all were facing similar kind of challenges. It was more towards like mental compared to the physical one.
And losing your loved ones, I lost my mother-in-law during this COVID phase, and losing your loved ones and you yourself going through it, I think that's a big learning for anybody.
Yeah, it definitely is
also, I realized that it is just a positive mindset where you tell yourself that yes, you can do it and you will win this situation. Yes. That's the greatest learning that I had ever had in the last couple of years that I have seen myself.
Right.
So that's my message to people, that you need to have a positive mindset.
Right.
Just forget about everything and just tell yourself that yes, you can do it.
Correct.
Pick up yourself, shrug everything, stand in front of the mirror and say that you are the best and you will win today.
Definitely.
No one in this world can defeat you. And that's what I do, because nobody is going to pat you every morning. You need to pat yourself, and that's what I do.
Yes.
And I tell myself that you are the best in this world. Just move.
True.
Keep moving. That's it. Nobody is going to tell you and push you for that. You have to push yourself.
Yes.
And trust me, you will do it.
Yes, definitely. These are really wonderful things. Until unless you pet yourself or you motivate yourself, you encourage yourself, it is difficult to find outside.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
So I must say the discussion we had was really amazing, and I was thinking that something more would be coming in. So I was waiting for you to continue further. Really amazing insights you have shared about so many things. And I really want to discuss further more. I want to hear more from you again soon. So thank you so much, Dr. Palomi, for your time and whatever knowledge and advices you have shared with us were really worth it and really interesting and important too. I will also share your social media links and websites so that people can be in touch with you, take your help, guidance wherever they feel like. So guys, don't forget to check that out too. And thank you everyone for watching and listening. I hope you all must have gathered a lot of information and enjoyed watching it. Don't forget to like, share and subscribe. Have a good time. Thank you and bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.